I trust that everyone had a great Thanksgiving. Who had a great Thanksgiving? There's just so much to be thankful for, right? There's so much to be thankful for. And I was at one of the centers on Friday after Thanksgiving. And somebody said to me, you know, the sad thing about Thanksgiving is you have to wait all year for Thanksgiving. Now think that through. Now, I clearly understood what the person was saying to me. You know, we weren't talking about Thanksgiving in a spiritual sense, because we weren't. You know, it was a wonderful holiday, and does anybody like the day of Thanksgiving? I mean, it's a nice holiday, right? It really is. It's a nice time to get together. We had all our kids over, and the grandbabies were over there. It was a nice time of Thanksgiving. And this person who said to me, you know, geez, you know, the only problem with Thanksgiving is you have to wait all year for Thanksgiving. And I clearly understood what the person meant, you know, that festiveness of that holiday. But, you know, there are some people that really aren't thankful until that day comes around again. And it comes to a remembrance that is a day to be thankful. And that's a shame, isn't it? I mean, when you really can grasp a hold of that truth, what a shame that is, that in our culture and our society, you know, we wait for a day in which to be thankful. But for God's people, we should be thankful. I know you know the answer is what?
Every day.
Every day. And you know, when you take, I think I told you this, and I apologize if I did, because I do so many messages. It's like I do like 12 of them, and I forget who I tell things to. And if I told you this, I apologize. But you know, when you take classes in preaching, you know, one of the things they teach you is that if you want to get affirmation or to emote approval, ask a question that you already know the answer to. You know, and that's what you do. You know, pastors like me, you know, you learn those things that, you know, if you want to get affirmation or get a yes answer, you must obviously ask a what? A yes question. You have to ask a yes question. And that's how we do that. And you'll hear me say those things to you oftentimes. And if you want buy-in, you need to get people to raise their hands. And that's how you know people are connected. And I do that a lot with you. That was my training. But, you know, how many are just thankful to be alive today? That's a yes question. Right, I know the answer to that question. It's a yes. And if you said no, I have to talk to you individually after the service right away before you go home. I would pull you aside and say, we need to have a little talk here. I mean, how many are glad to be breathing? That's one of those what?
Yes
questions, right? That's one of those yes questions. And so, you know, we know how to do that. We're trained how to do that. You know, you want affirmation, ask a yes question. But one of those questions that I would ask now is, you know, how many of you are thankful? That's a yes question. I mean, everybody would say yes. But if I said to you, how many are truly thankful in everything? That's one of those questions I don't really know the answer to. I know what you want to say. Everybody wants to say yes, but I really know the answer is maybe not. Be thankful in everything? I know the gist of your innermost soul wants to say, yes, I'm thankful in everything. But the reality of it is, how many of you are not thankful in everything? That's just the truth about it, right? And so today I'm going to end that thing I started last Sunday about being thankful. And are we still thankful after Thanksgiving? That's the question. And in order for God's children to be thankful, we need to be thankful according to God's plan. And we talked about that last week. It's not God's suggestion that we be thankful. It isn't. It's not a suggestion we be thankful. For I read for you last week, it is God's will that we be thankful. Right? It's His will. Thankful in what?
All
things, everything we know. It's His will. It's not a suggestion. It's His will. And so as I wrap this part of the message up for you today, I've been doing some thinking about that. You know, we human beings are a weird kind of lot. How many know we're kind of strange? I mean, when you really look at all of God's creation, you know, everything, all of the animals and us, we're a really strange lot of folks. We really are. And some of the reasons why we are kind of strange at times, unfortunately, is because we are so vocal and we are verbal and we have language. And what I mean by that is I'm not going to do a big litany about this, but I want to try to teach you a little maybe something. It's like a dog. And a dog walks by you and you kick the dog. The dog is going to yelp. Right? The dog will yelp. And the dog will run away. Now the dog comes past you again and you kick the dog. The dog is going to yelp and run away. Right? You do that enough times. What's that, Jesse? Well, if you're a big enough guy, he'll run away too. Oh, by the way, I was at a place. I was at a ministry yesterday, at a ministry event. And, you know, it's just at a ministry event. It was a biker ministry event, and I was ministering to some folks there. And I walked into this ministry event where this was, and I looked at this big old dog, and I went, "Oh, that is a mighty big dog. I mean, the biggest dog I have ever seen. Dog, big dog." And I went, "Oh, that is a big dog." And the guy brought the dog over. I said, "What's the dog's name?" They said, "Wolf." And I said, "Wolf?" He said, "Yeah, Wolf." And I said, "Wolf?" He said, "Yeah, because it is a wolf. They have a wolf." And this was one of the wolves. The second wolf was tied up because he didn't play nice. And the wolves guarded the place. Imagine breaking into that place, huh? But if you kick a dog long enough, the dog will get conditioned, right? The dog will avoid you. Why? Because it's been conditioned. It's been conditioned. Everybody follow that? If you kick a dog enough times, you kick the dog will finally see you and avoid you. But is a dog like lying awake at night being anxious about being kicked? No. The dog is not lying awake at night saying, "Oh my God, I hope I'm not kicked tomorrow." The dog doesn't do that. The dog will see you and condition to you, right? But we humans, we learn things in two different directions. Did you know that? We learn things in two different directions. What we do as human beings, and not with the dog will be conditioned to avoid me because I'm kicking the dog. But human beings learn things in two different directions. We'll go, "Oh my gosh, I could get kicked tomorrow." See, human beings will worry about being kicked. A dog doesn't worry about being kicked tomorrow. The dog just avoids the person that's doing the kicking. But human beings learn it in two different directions. We'll go, "Oh my God, if I wake up tomorrow, I might get kicked all day." And so every single one of us, we have these words, these triggers in our minds. Every one of us. How many of you know people that just seem to be just, everything is just so fine and happy and, oh, they're just so wonderful people. And, you know, never have a care and never have a problem in the whole world. Anybody know people like that? Oh my gosh, I just want to be like them. Just happy, happy. I don't want to sing that song anymore. Jesse's pointing at me. And I'm gonna address that. You know, we sing that song, I-oh, so off to work I go. Who knows that song? Right? And so what happens is I need to make sure that you understand this. You know, Jesse pointed to me. Jesse said, "Man, Jesse, you know, you're happy and you're full of joy." Oh, well, thank you, Jesse. Jesse here. I say, that's our son Jesse, by the way. Everybody say hi to our son Jesse. That's Jesse right there. But the reality of it is this. The reality of it is this. Well, he's get this from me. But you know what the reality of it is? Here's the reality. If you live on this earth long enough, I don't care who you are going to experience pain. I don't care what your name is. I don't care what your bloodline is. I don't care what your nationality is or your race or your ethnicity. If you live on this earth long enough, you are going to experience pain. Is that true?
Yes.
If you live on this earth long enough, you are going to feel depressed. If you live on this earth long enough, you are going to experience anxiety. You are going to experience frustration. You are going to experience shame. You are going to experience embarrassment. If you live on this earth long enough, you will also experience all those things that everybody else experiences. That's just the truth of the statement. How many understand that? Everybody goes through these things. Everybody. It's not just you. It's everybody. Is that a fair statement? But the counter to that should also be true. If everybody goes through these things, which they will, why is not everybody also thankful? What's the difference? What's the hook? If everybody experiences all these things, you know, depression, anxiety, fear, loneliness, shame, guilt, you know, grief, mourning, who here has ever experienced at least one of those things? It's universal. Everybody experiences them. But then, why doesn't everyone else also feel blessed and joy and thankfulness? Because they don't. They might have moments of that, but not lives of that. True? And so what we have to learn to be as disciples is learn to be thankful, not only in some things, and this is the important hook. This is the hook. We need to learn not to just to be thankful in some things, because then we'll only be thankful some of the time. Does that make sense? If we're only thankful on some of the things, only some things, well, what happens in the other times of things? We'll be not so thankful in living outside of God's will. Does that make sense? It has to make sense, right? And so what we got to understand to ourselves is, how can we be thankful in everything? You can be thankful. You know that Powerball thing? I think it's the highest it's ever been. Highest it's ever been? Like how many, is it 400 and some million, billion or something? How much? 325. How many be really thankful if you won that? See, Whitey's all right. Whitey just wants a chunk. 10%. Yeah, 10%. They're right. Now here's the weirdness. Now I know, you know, some people, you know, you gotta play to win. Bob, you pay your buck a month, right, or whatever. You don't play it anymore? Okay. You know, and there are people who put their happiness even in the opportunity to win. They spend it before they even got it. Now what's the chances of winning that? One in like, I don't know, 100 and some million? Like, there's a more chance of getting hit by lightning 3 times in a row or something like that, some kind of strange thing. But I got news for you. You don't have to hit the $1 million lottery to be happy. Just put your trust in Jesus Christ. Amen. And so what we're going to learn today, hopefully, is, well, how can we be thankful in all things? It's easy to be thankful in some things. And you don't need lessons in that. You can be thankful in some things. Everybody got that. But how to be thankful in all things. So turn in your Bibles, please. Romans 8:28.
And we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to His purpose.
Now see, that's one of those passages of Scripture that most of you can quote most of it. Probably a lot of you card carrying. What's the next part? Bible toting. Scripture quoting, sanctified, blood bought, Jesus freaks. Write that down, Christy. There could be a test. And the reality of it is, most of us could probably quote at least the first part of that. All things work together for the good. How many knew at least that part? You heard that, right? All things work together for good. And now how about the second part? For those who love the Lord. Now the last part. And are called according to His purpose. Now there's the hook. Now there's the hook. See, we can quote, well, don't worry about it, Bob, because all things work together for good. I forgot the last part. Didn't I? Oh, don't worry about that, Pastor Ed, when you're going through all that goofiness, because all things work together for good anyhow. Don't worry about it. For those who love the Lord, well, I love the Lord. And are called according to, Christina, His purpose. See, it might not work out for good according to your purpose, though. True? It might not. Because let's just be real here. Let's go to Reelsville, Pennsylvania, right now in Blueberry Park. Reelsville, Pennsylvania, right now at 11 o'clock, right? He got a will and you got a will. And he got a plan, and you got a plan. How many know we all got our plans and we all got our wills? How many strong-willed kids are in this room right now? And all the rest of you are lying anyhow. You can't even speak the truth. Who's got a strong will? Who wants what you want when you want it? You know that you do. You know that you do. You know that the whole world evolves around you because you are just so great. Now, you know that, and I know that. And you know that when you wake up in the morning, you are the smartest person on the face of the earth. Just ask you. You will agree all the time. And you know that the reason why people argue with you is because they just not have realized how brilliant you are. Let's just be real. And unfortunately, let's be real. We also include God in that equation. Now, I wouldn't say that, of course. But we know I have a will and I have a plan. And he has a will and he has a plan. How many of you have been on your plan way too long? True? And so what happens is we think these things. We say, oh, you know what? All things work together for good. According to what? His will. But what if his will is for you to suffer? What if it's his will? But that doesn't sound so good. It doesn't sound too cool to me that I have to be the one to suffer. Me? Yeah. For whose purpose? His. His purpose. Because he has a plan. Now this is the part that grown up, mature disciples get. Now you gotta grasp this. This is the grown up part. You know, downstairs we got the kiddie part. Right? Downstairs they're learning all about probably Jesus and the nativity. You know, away in a manger. Up here's where the big kids are. I get the big kids. Or sometimes I want to switch. I need a break. But you're the big kids, and you got the big teacher. Grasp this. God does not just have a plan for you alone. He has a plan for all of us. He not only has a plan for me, he's got a plan for Mike. And he may use me to work out his plan in him. But what if my plan, according to him, is for me to suffer so that he will get it? Well, see, that doesn't seem like that makes a lot of sense. Does it? That's not your way. That's not your plan. I have to suffer so Mike can be ministered to? Yeah. See, Jesus Christ had to die for you, according to his plan and for his purpose. You see, we forget that. You mean to tell me that when bad things happen to me, I need to be thankful? Well, if you love the Lord, you should be. And if you're called according to his purpose, you should be. Because he uses our sufferings to minister to someone else. How many understand that? Would you rather not be used? Really? Would you really, truly just rather not be used? Really? And I'm not making light of this, and I don't mean to make light of this, so please do not read into this. Somebody came and they plugged these cords in. And we're thankful. Without these cords being plugged in over here, there'd be no sound. And we are thankful. If this is the only way you want to be used by the Lord, fine. Fine. If you just want to come and plug cords in, fine. But for some of us, we want to be used for whatever God wants to use us for. For whatever the plan is. How many agree with that? Well, that might mean you have to what? Suffer. That might mean that. That might mean you have to go through some pretty bad stuff. So that he gets the glory. And so what you have to ask yourself is, well, if you got to go through some stuff, are you thankful? Yes, because why? All things work together for good for those who love the Lord and are called according to his purpose. Remember when you said, I accept Jesus Christ as my Savior? There was something you said before that. Lord. And Lord means what? the Lord over my life and be thankful. Turn in your Bibles. 1 John chapter 5, verse 3.
For this is the love of God, that we keep His commandments, and His commandments are not burdensome.
Yeah, that all things work together for the Lord. Well, how do you know you love God? I mean, you can say it, right? You can say it. How many of you women here know that saying the word love is shallow? It's expressing it is more intense. Is that a true statement? I mean, someone can tell you that they love you, right, Sue? That's shallow. It's showing it, right? And there are a lot of people who say they love the Lord. A lot of people say it, but you got to show it. And how is it that you show it? Well, this example in this passage of Scripture says to keep His commandments. Which ones? How many commandments are there? You want to say 10, don't you? You want to say 10? Now, there's the 10 biggies. Aren't there some others? There's some more, aren't there? Do unto others kinds of stuff. Love your neighbors. Right? All that kinds of stuff. How many of the commandments should we keep? All of them. That's how we demonstrate whether we love them. That's how we do it. Not just the ones you want to keep. How many are pretty good keeping the ones you want to keep? How many could narrow some of them down some? I wonder how long it would take if we had like a committee meeting, we decide let's fine-tune some of these commandments, and we had like 20 people. I wonder how long it would take us to fine-tune some of them. I wonder. I mean, shall not steal. Okay, Appendix A. What about the IRS? Them thieves. Them thieves! Okay, Appendix A, Article 2. It's okay to... I mean, we would really have a good committee meeting with that kind of stuff, right? But we are to keep what commandments? All of them. That demonstrates our love for the Lord. All of them. And His law is not burdensome. It's not something that weighs you down. It's not weighs you down. It liberates you, doesn't it? And so, when we come to this day of Thanksgiving, is anybody thankful for God's laws and ordinances? You should be, right? I mean, Sissy and I were traveling down 79 the other day, and I was going probably 70 miles an hour. This car passed me like I was at a red light. I'm serious. Anybody ever had that experience? Like, you see him coming, right? You see him coming. Like, get out of the way. I am not kidding. No, I've already taught you this stuff before about, you know, you don't know the reason for it. Just get out of the way. And I rounded the bend, a state trooper had him pulled over, and, you know, I'm thanking God for the law. Thank God for the law. Now, hopefully they worked it out, whatever the problem was. You know, get him where he's supposed to be going safely. But, you know, if there was no laws, what would it be? Chaos. It'd be anarchy. It'd be terrible, right? And so thank God for the law. So let's turn in our Bibles. And we're going to go to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 13 to 14.
But we are bound to give thanks to God always for you, brethren beloved by the Lord, because God, from the beginning, chose you for salvation through sanctification by the Spirit and belief in the truth, to which He called you by our gospel for the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ.
Now, I don't want to get into a great big lesson, you know, on being chosen, and I don't want to get into a big thing about that right now with predestination stuff. I don't want to get into that. But Scripture clearly says that we did not choose Him. Who knows the other part of that? He chose us. And that's... Let that mull around in you. He chose you. He chose you for salvation. Wow. I mean, would you choose you? Well, you choose you. But would you choose a person next to you? I mean, choose you for salvation? Wow. Anybody thankful for that? I mean, you gotta let that... You have to let that, you know, I want you, you know, downstairs they think, for example, in small things, most of them. Like if I said to the kids downstairs, what is this? They would say, it's a what? It's a music stand. That's what they would say. And they would be correct. It's a music stand. And that would be correct. But for adults, if I wanted you to expand your thinking, I'd say, what is this? Well, you might say it's a music stand, you would be correct, but I want you to expand your thinking process, and you would say it's a helper. Because this is a helper, right? It's a helper. And so when you think about Jesus Christ and God choosing you for salvation, what does that mean? That means God said to Jesus, his only son, I want you to go and die for her or for him. Go die. Bear all their sin debt and suffer for them so that I can spend all of eternity with them. Let them all around. Anybody thankful for that? I mean, it's easy to remember that Jesus died for our sins, but now you have to internalize that. You got to grasp it. For whose sins? Mine. Don't say all of ours. No, that's thinking little things. He died for whose sins? Mine. How many understand he did that for you personally? Me. He did that for me. And you want to say to yourself, but if he only knew. Well, don't you get it? He does. That's why he did. That's why he did. And the bigger your sin, the bigger the price that he paid. Does anybody grasp that? Anybody thankful for that? I mean, really? We come into the season of Christmas, you know, we'll be all decorated, we'll have all our Christmas stuff, but you know what? Anybody thankful just for he died for you? That's pretty much to be thankful for, right? And so we come into the season of the day, season after Thanksgiving, we need to be thankful knowing that God uses us for his purposes if we are called according to his purposes and that we love him. Who loves the Lord? Does anybody want to serve him? Guess what that might mean? I mean, really, truly, come on. You know what that might mean, don't you? That might mean you're going to suffer. That might mean that you're going to be in a boat in the middle of the lake and the waves are coming. Right? And you know why the disciples are in the boat in the middle of the lake when the waves are crashing? They thought they're going to die. You know why? You know why? Because they were with Christ. Because he said what to them? Get in the boat. And the minute they obeyed him, they got in the boat. Guess what they got in? A storm. And you know, there was like probably tens of thousands of people not in the storm. But they also weren't with Christ either. So you pick. How many rather be in the storm with Christ than on the dry shore with somebody else? Right? All right, so you get this thing going on. You say, okay. So I'm going to suffer, and I need to be thankful. Well, why do I need to be thankful in my suffering? So God can work out his purposes. For who? For me, and who else? Everybody else, according to his will. True? How many of you have ever been ministered to somebody or from somebody that had a life of suffering? Anybody ever been ministered? Well, guess what? It might be whose turn now? Yours. It might just be yours. It might just be yours. All right. So let's turn in our Bibles. Romans chapter 5, verses 3 to 5.
And not only that, but we also glory in tribulations, knowing that tribulation produces perseverance, and perseverance character, and character hope. Now hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who was given to us.
All right. Be thankful with everything. Be thankful in tribulation. Be thankful in our storms. Yes. Why? I know. I got it on my bucket list, right? Like, I want to go to a Steeler game. I like to go to a Penguin game and only spend $10. I wait a long time, right, Ed? I wait a long time. I want to go to a Penguin game. I want to go to a Steeler game. And I don't want to suffer. Does anybody have it on your trials and tribulation list? You know, in my bucket list, give me some more trials. Heap them on me, Lord. I'm so ready for some more trials. Well, no, of course not. But what if you worked it backwards? What if you worked it backwards? What if I said to you, how many of you would love to be able to get more strength of character? I mean, when the day came for you, you know, when someone like me stood here and you're lying behind me like back there, right? And somebody like me goes to a really fancy place and I sign a book, you know. And I go around saying to people, what can you tell me about, you know, Joe or whatever? And somebody says, you know, one thing I want to tell you about that man or that woman, that was a person of character. That was a person of character. Who'd like to have that said about you? I mean, how many put that in your bucket list? How about perseverance? That person had stick to it, and that person was just patient. Or that person was full of hope. How many like to have that said about you? Would that be in your bucket list? Well, how do you get those things? Amazon.com? Oh, for those of you who don't have internet, that's a website. www.amazon.com, and it'll put hope. Hope's on sale, Black Friday. Oh, no, it's an electronic thing. What is it on Monday? Cyber Monday. You get two hopes for $9.95. And you'll throw in some character with it. Free shipping. If you order today. You don't get character. You don't get perseverance. You don't get hope. You have to earn it. And you know how you earn it? Trials and tribulations. That's how you get it. That's how you get it. You know the great generation that everybody talks about? You know how far that's gone by? You know, I hate to be talking about young people today, but because we've got young people in here, but oh well. I've offended people before. And I'll probably do it again. Young people do not have character today. They don't, not most of them. Young people have now entitlement mentality. Everything needs to be given to me. What happened to that? You want something, you got to work for it. How many grew up that way? You want something, work for it. That's character. And Scripture says that through my trials and through my tribulation, I will gain what? Character. Look at that passage of Scripture. Let me work that through you. Romans 3:5. And not only that, but we glory in our tribulations, knowing that tribulation produces perseverance. Perseverance produces character. And character produces hope. And hope does not disappoint us. How do you get those things? I mean, how do you get those things? Through suffering. Through suffering. Through your trials and through your tribulations. Does anybody want those things? And so what you got to understand is that when you're heaped on you trials and tribulations, work through it. Because the end result will be what? Perseverance. Character. And hope. And the more that you get of these things, the bigger and broader is your faith. And the bigger and broader your faith, the more mature you are as a Christian. Brothers and sisters, it is God's desire that who should perish?
None.
And we said this before in our discipleship training. I talked to you about this before. I said to you, if somebody needs a hole patched in their roof, and Mark comes to us and says, you know what? There's a guy down there I know is an older fella. He's got a hole in his roof. God does not send down Michael and Gabriel and 10 more angels with aprons on and nail guns. They don't do that. He doesn't do that. He uses who? Us. He uses us. That's who he uses. If people need fed down a Light of Life mission, they send Ray and Mark and Sandy and others. They don't send down angels, you know, with bam, that stuff, that emerald. Bam! They don't do that. They send us. How many understand that? Well, God ministers to people who are suffering also through who? Us. The question is, do you want to be used? That's the hook. That's the hook. You know, when I was a pastor at the other churches, they send out this gift inventory. If I take another one, I'm going to puke. This gift inventory. I mean, like 100,000 questions to find out what your gifts are. You know, yes, no, yes, no, yes, no, yes, no. Whoa! And then, you know, when I entered in seminary, and they want to know what your strengths were, and they say, well, you know, you're good for music. You know what? How about just good for whatever God wants to use you for? How many of us like to be used that way? Whatever he wants, I'm going to be there, right? And so we got to understand that through our trials and through our tribulations, we get something from it too. How many of you, if you have to go through, you know what, let's say you have to go through a surgery, let's just suppose, open heart surgery, let's just suppose, open heart surgery. Now, I know Leonard had had that, right? Leonard's had, anybody else here has ever had open heart surgery? Okay, Leonard's had. I know, I'm hoping my saying that. Leonard's had. Okay, so I get this diagnosis that I have to have open heart surgery, right? And I need somebody to go with me. I'm a little anxious. And Ryan says, well, I'll go with you. This 18-year-old guy. I said, okay.
He's 19.
Oh, 19, I'm sorry. It all runs together for me now. And Ryan says, I'll go with you. I said, okay, fine. And I'm sitting there, I'm kind of nervous and anxious. My hands are sweating a little bit. Ryan says, you okay, Pastor Tom? And I said, well, I don't know. They're about to, you know, give me a zipper here. And he said, ah, it hurts your breathe. Don't worry about it. I mean, I had my dog down at the vet the other day. You know, they took out a splinter. I said, you'll be fine. I mean, he's worried about Big Macs and French fries. I mean, do I really, not that I wouldn't want him, but would it not be better if Leonard was sitting beside me and said, hey, look, I've been there, and I've done that. And let me tell you what you're going to experience. And let me tell you what it's going to be like. And let me tell you what it's going to be like when you wake up. And let me tell you what it's going to be like in the intensive care for a while. You can tell me those things. But let me also tell you what it's going to be like when you recover. And let me tell you what it's going to be like when it all heals. How many of you would rather have Leonard with you than somebody who's never been there before? It makes perfect sense, doesn't it? You want somebody that's been there and done that. True? So through his suffering, would he not be able to minister to others who are going to be suffering as he has? The obvious answer has to be what? Well, doesn't that also then obviously conclude that that works with all things? It has to, doesn't it? And so when you're going through the suffering and the trials and tribulations, what you say to the Lord is, well, thank you because I know that this suffering and this trial and this tribulation, no matter how big, how broad, how wide, or how deep it is, you are going to use me to be able to help somebody else in the same experiences that they're going through, and I give you thanks. Now, that's a big grown-up disciple kind of way of looking at things. Now, I'll tell you, you know, that when you're going through the trial, you know, you might not be able to think big discipleship thing then. But, you know, for those of great faith, remember that you have perseverance and character and hope. That he's going to use this for his glory and for his purposes. And for that, you need to be thankful. And what kind of things? All things. Well, let me just... I'm going to probably have to do this again next week. When you are going through this experience by yourself, and you know, there are many, many times I go to funerals and I say to folks that I want you to know that I understand what this feels like. It feels like you're all by yourself. Anybody ever been surrounded by 100 people feel like you're all alone at the same time? It's just, that's the way it works. But I need you to grasp this truth. You need to grasp this. And I want you to be able to wrap yourself around this. Everybody, if you're on the earth long enough, whether you are a Christian, a Muslim, a Hindu, an atheist, an agnostic, makes no difference. If you are human and you are on this earth long enough, you will experience pain. There is no way of avoiding it. Does anybody agree with that statement? Because you will. If you're on this earth long enough, you are going to experience anxiety and depression in some ways, worry, guilt, embarrassment, mourning, and grief. It is universal to who? All of us. All of us. Everybody experiences it. But this is the part that we need to grasp a hold of. We, as mature Christians and mature brothers and sisters in the Lord, as God's children, understand that when we experience it, it will work together for good for those who love Him and are called according to His purpose. That God will use our suffering to be able to help someone else in their suffering, as someone has helped you. Now, all of you in this room who have experienced those kinds of things that I just asked you about, raise your hand. Who's experienced pain and mourning and grief? Haven't we all experienced it? How many of you have been helped or ministered to by somebody else who has also experienced it? That's the way that it works. for his purposes. Does that make sense? But guess what? We often say a cliche, well, it's time to pass the mantle on, right? Equip the next generation. Because we're not going to be here forever, are we? Well, who's coming up behind us? The younger folks. Well, guess what? We're the younger folks that those people ministered to when they experienced it. We're them. It's our turn. Some of us in this room, other than the 19-year-old, we're getting to that age bracket where parents are going to pass away, and children are going to pass away, and brothers and sisters are going to pass away, and we're going to experience some stuff, and our bodies are deteriorating, and we're getting old, and our knees are creaking, and all that kind of stuff, right? It's the way it works. But for those who love the Lord and are called according to his purpose, we need to be what? Thankful. Let's pray. Father, we thank you. Yes, Lord, honestly, it's hard to be thankful in everything, but Lord, we're thankful. For we know that you will use the events in our lives to your glory. And we want to be used, Lord. Lord, I hope I never get a phone call to appear on the Maury Povich show. I want to be called for your glory. I don't want to be famous, Lord. I want to receive the well done plaque. So, Lord, use us all in whatever the circumstances we find ourselves in. We want to be used for your purposes and for your glory. Whatever it is, use us, Lord, and we will be thankful. And all of God's people said, Amen.